Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The Constitution of Missouri in Articles 10, Section 4B allows for only three categories of property for property tax classification purposes. Residential, agricultural, and what we've been calling in this case in the briefs commercial, but it's really a whole bunch of other things. It's pretty much anything else that isn't residential or agricultural. Now, Chapter 137 of the revised statutes sets different assessment value percentages of true value for each category. Residential is 19%, agricultural is 12%, and the other category, commercial, et cetera, is 32%.
What?
Now, ordinarily, when land is in active use, which most land that isn't vacant is, which of these three categories to apply is determined by how the land is being used. If there's a house on it, it's residential. If there's a business on it, it's commercial. If it's being used for a farm, it's agricultural. When land is vacant and unused, however, Section 137.016, subsection 5, says this determination is to be made by the land's immediate, most suitable economic use. In this case, the State Tax Commission erred when it held that the immediate, most suitable economic use of my client's vacant land was as commercial property rather than as residential property. Now, this is because the only immediately possible use of the land at all, as a matter of law, was residential rather than as anything else. The property at issue, as the Court knows from the briefs, is two adjoining parcels.
In fact, if it's zoned residential, you can't use it for commercial use, can
That's
you?
Correct, exactly. The City of Gladstone, this was, I was about to say, Your Honor, zones my client's property prohibitorily residentially. So it can only be used as residential property. In fact, the evidence in this case was that, from the respondent's own expert, was that you can't even rent out a room in a house in this kind of residential zoning. It's the absolute highest residential zoning, they call it R1, that the City of Gladstone has. And in fact, the land itself is within a residential subdivision. 60 feet of one of the two parcels fronts a cul-de-sac between two other houses.
But of course, the statute, sort of circular in a sense, but it says it almost makes zoning dispositive unless, and then it's the unless that's at issue.
Unless it's not dispositive, basically,
right.
Yes.
And it says zoning classification, you shall consider zoning classification except such classification shall not be considered conclusive if, so it makes it sound like otherwise it is conclusive, upon consideration of all factors, it is determined that such zoning classification does not reflect the immediate, most suitable economic use of the property. So whose burden is it? Normally it would be perhaps your burden to challenge it, but as part of your argument that says we assume the zoning classification is conclusive unless it's determined that it does not reflect the immediate, most suitable economic use, who needs to show that it does not?
It depends. I think we're treating zoning in this case that's really prohibitory. There does exist out there zoning that's not prohibitory. In our reply brief, we point to types of zoning like you see in the outskirts of rural towns where it's both agricultural and residential. It's residential, but it permits some agricultural uses. Or in the urban core of Kansas City or St. Louis, where apartment complexes also have retail on the first floor. There are separate uses and they're separately available. Certainly, it's always the taxpayer's burden in a state tax commission case to show why the Board of Equalization and the assessor, et cetera, are wrong. But if you look at the Algonquin case, it really does say that once the taxpayer has gone in and shown that there is this kind of prohibitory zoning, which really isn't any different than Ledoux or Warson Woods had in the Algonquin case about those golf clubs, that zoning was equally prohibitory. It said that in the city of Ledoux, this property on which this golf club is located is entirely residential. It cannot be used commercially at all. Having introduced that evidence, and in this case, that's not disputed. In fact, the parties both agree that in order for any commercial use to occur on this property, the zoning would have to be changed by the city of Gladstone. So just like in Algonquin,
did your client advertise it as a commercial property when they were going to sell it, right?
Yes, that is true, Your Honor. It didn't sell. In fact, it didn't even have any takers or lookers. We don't dispute also, in addition to the zoning, that the property could feasibly, physically be used as commercial property. And I think that's what my clients were trying to do by selling that.
And Algonquin, you never had those actions on the part of the parties that were being...
But it's really not a whole lot different, though, because in Algonquin, the golf clubs, and I know Your Honor knows Algonquin very well, you wrote it, In Algonquin, the golf clubs agreed that physically their land could be used as that. Now, sure, the Algonquin Golf Club, the St. Louis Country Club, never tried to sell themselves to be commercial property. But had they done so, let's say they weren't doing all that well and they decided they were going to try to sell themselves as that, they could sell themselves as that, but the land still couldn't be used as anything other than residential property. I don't think that matters. One way or another.
It could be immediately used for a commercial purpose, being a public golf course.
But in the Algonquin case, the facts were not that. The facts in the Algonquin case said that if it were, in fact, to quote from Algonquin, if the clubs ceased operations as private golf courses, the only suitable economic use which could occur immediately would be as residential developments. Because the zoning there, just like here, was overtly prohibitory. And, you know, I think
and
we have...
And immediately seems to be the key sort of basis for different... I mean, because I think everybody agrees at some point down the line it may be this could be rezoned commercial. Is that adequate? Or, I mean, you say it has to be right away. Opposing counsel says it doesn't mean it has to be, you know, within a certain set period of time, the certain assessment period. It can be later and still be... meet the definition. How do we interpret that language?
You interpret immediate by its plain language. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks this is an ambiguous statute. Immediate most suitable economic use is a suitable economic use, and we both agree that practically anything is a suitable economic use. In fact, if you look at the eight-factor findings in the State Tax Commission hearing officer's decision, she says in each finding, it could be used residentially or commercially. It could be, you know, the sewer and the sidewalks and all those other things. The utilities are adequate for both.
So you're saying it's not significant that there was evidence introduced that Gladstone indicated it would favorably entertain a rezoning application?
Your Honor, there wasn't really evidence introduced of that. The substantial and competent evidence standard, which is what the standard of review we're using is, doesn't allow for mere conjecture or speculation. What respondent's expert was doing when he said, oh, they might do that, he even testifies. How did he know that? Because he'd gone to some city council meetings, and he had looked at the one time that a rezoning had ever been suggested. And the one time a rezoning ever was suggested, it was to a commercial use, was for a filling station, the city of Gladstone unanimously rejected that.
Did they, in that rejection, say, because it's such an extreme commercial use and that's why we're rejecting it as opposed to... What did they say exactly?
Well, you know, it's a city council. There's numerous members. I think there's five members.
But was there an order or something issued, or there, just a vote?
It was just a vote taken, and there were individual comments, and that's in the record, actually. We have the transcript.
So those were individual comments saying, well, I'm against this because it's too extreme, but we don't know what the commission as a whole would have done.
There's that. Actually, one of the council members says, I don't want any use this close to the houses. It's right in the backyards. That's how he describes it.
So there's a difference between the taxing authority and the zoning authority. If the zoning authority decided to have an action for changing the commercial use, the neighbors would come in. It's a whole political process, and they could decide. If they decide to say, this is commercial use, then that's a different story. But if they haven't done that,
that's
and
right.
still residential use,
you're
sort of stuck as the owner.
Exactly. And I think exactly what Algonquin is getting at is based upon the current zoning restrictions, and that's, again, a quote directly from Algonquin, immediate commercial use was legally impossible there. It's legally impossible here currently to immediate has to have the dictionary definition that it's given.
But your opponent says that you don't present any evidence of any prohibitive legal or economic impediments to such a commercial use.
I don't think that's our burden at that point. In Algonquin, I'm going off of Algonquin because that's the only case that actually discusses this at all. The point is that once the prohibitory zoning is shown, the burden then must shift to the other side, to the taxing authority, to show how that can be overcome currently. And in fact, respondent's own expert testified before the State Tax Commission hearing officer that would not happen within the present assessment cycle.
But if another example might be, there's 400 acres of land between Litzinger Road and Lindbergh and Ladue and Clayton Road, 400 acres, which is, I think, zoned agricultural in Ladue. If they wanted to, if the division of whoever's taxing wanted to say, no, that's really residential, they could raise the rate to 19% if they wanted to, and the people who own 100 farms would then, it's zoned, I'm sure it's zoned agricultural, they'd have to comply with that in this reading.
I'm trying to imagine the idea of a farm in Ladue in my
head. It is 400 acres.
Okay,
400
I didn't
acres
know that.
Of land in Ladue, which is characterized as a farm.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing would apply there. If there's prohibitory zoning that says this must be used, it's only zoned for use agriculturally, then the hands of the taxing authority are tied.
Why can they zone it residential? Everything else around there.
They can zone it residentially, in which case the farms would have to stop existing. In that case, Your Honor, the farms would have to stop existing because they wouldn't fit the zoning.
Well, you'd be in non-conforming use, right? Because you would have been a pre-existing, wouldn't you?
I suppose in that case you might be, yes. I mean, that's a hypothetical getting a little bit off the
beaten
path
here.
But
what does this mean, though? It doesn't say if zoning prohibits it. Your examples are ones where there's multiple zonings possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it mean a zoning change is already in the works of different kinds of situations where maybe there has been, maybe everything nearby has been rezoned when requested? There might be situations.
I agree that certainly if a zoning change is pending, I had a case actually last year where it was about what the quality of the land was, and the city of Kansas City had already changed the zoning pending like 6 months from when we started the case. And that was actually a very difficult question at that point. I don't really know what the answer would be in that case, but clearly the zoning would not be conclusive there. But where you have this kind of prohibitory zoning, that to actually use it in the way that the taxing authority is taxing it for, you have to get a legislative body to change the law, that obviously can't be immediate. Immediate means without delay. Immediate means now. And if in the Zimmerman Bluffs case, it's kind of turned around. The Zimmerman versus Missouri Bluffs case, it's turned around, and they talk about most immediate most. It's kind of odd language, but I think when you're dealing with this kind of prohibitory zoning, the law of Missouri has to be that the taxing can't go disparate to that. I'll reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
So aren't they in a bind? I mean, they tried to sell the property as commercial, and no one would buy it. I mean, they have to depend really on the city of Gladstone the municipality of Gladstone to say it's commercial. Why would anyone buy it commercially? But yet, how can you tax them commercial if they can't use it for that?
The statute says to look at the immediate, most suitable economic use.
But they have no control over that.
Pardon me, who has no control?
The owner. The owner, the use has to be according to zoning.
Right.
And that's up to the municipality.
Yes, based upon...
Not up to the owner.
Based upon the facts of the case and based upon the application, the zoning application that's pending before the city. The zoning changes all the time. Now, the Algonquin case
was... pending. It's not
been
granted.
Pardon me?
It's pending, but it's not granted. There's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things that can happen. That's why we ask that you not ask the assessor to speculate about what might happen in the future with the particular property.
Can you address, and in doing that, though, it says immediate, and you said immediate doesn't deal with time.
Immediate.
I mean, how can immediate
that's what the
not
Western District
refer to time?
It does do with time in that you look at what the facts are immediately on the tax day, January 1, 2009, and apply all those factors at that
it
point in time.
It says does not reflect the immediate, most suitable economic use. One, if you get rid of immediate and says does not reflect the most suitable economic use, you could look at this property and say, suitably, it's really near North Fork Traffic Way, and there's a lot of commercial properties there. But they put in the word immediate.
And
in the part talking about zoning, isn't that saying looking at the zoning now, what else can it mean?
Looking at the current situation, not forecasting what might happen in the future. Looking at the current situation as it exists on the tax day, what can we tell about the property? And the classification should be based on all of the 8 factors. And zoning is not to be conclusive unless the most suitable economic zoning.
It says it is conclusive unless there's a finding that the zoning does not reflect the immediate, most suitable economic use. Why doesn't it mean, it says it shall not be conclusive if, upon consideration of all factors, it's determined that the zoning classification does not reflect the immediate, most suitable economic use. Makes it sound like unless you make that finding, it really is conclusive here. And on what facts are you saying that the zoning classification does not reflect the immediate, most not just does not reflect the most suitable use, but does not reflect the immediate
most suitably used?
Because of all of the facts that were existing at that point in time. Now, really, no use can be immediate. A residential use would require a structure for residential living be on the property. There was no structure. No structure would be immediate. You'd have to get plans. You'd have to get a building permit from the city. You'd have to hire a contractor and put up the house. No house is going to be constructed on this
property. So what does immediate mean? What meaning
immediate
are you saying we should give to that?
Look at the facts that exist immediately with respect to the property on the tax day, January 1st, 2009. Look at those facts only. Don't forecast into the future what might happen. You know, a lot of things can happen.
So why isn't the zoning determinative there?
It is not. Because it says, except that such zoning classification shall not be considered conclusive if upon consideration of all factors it is determined that such zoning classification does not reflect the immediate most suitable economic use.
And
does
here
not
all those
reflect
factors
it.
Kind of indicated it could be used either way, right?
Not really, Judge. When you look, I understand that there were specific findings in the a hearing officer made, but there were lots of other things that could be found. There were facts that supported commercial classification and that weighed heavily in favor of commercial classification.
Well, if it's not zoned commercial, how can they use it for commercial use?
By rezoning the property, which is what...
Well, they can't rezone it. They
can apply to rezone it if they wish, or they can sell it to someone who then applies to rezone it.
But it's outside of their control to rezone it. It's a political decision.
It is a political decision, and it's based on the facts of the case. In the Algonquin case, there was a magnitude of testimony that the city would never put a commercial use in this property, and there were also deed restrictions in the subdivision that said this can only be residential. It cannot be anything else. So when the court was looking at what are the facts on the ground right now on the assessment date, they say there is deed restrictions and the city has specifically said we are never going to allow commercial use on this property. So yes, the zoning was determinative in that particular case because of all these other factors applied. And the burden of proof did not switch to the county. The burden of proof stayed on the taxpayer. The taxpayer met that burden by showing what the restrictions were for this property.
You know, it does say you look at, in consideration of all the factors, so you look at all the other factors. And so I think if all these other factors showed it could really only reasonably be used for commercial use, that's the kind of thing they're talking about.
Yes,
they're saying
is.
If zoning is the odd one out, basically.
Exactly.
Then you look at it. But here, all those factors supported either use. And so I don't see how you, or at least the majority, there were many of them that supported said, oh, this would be good for commercial or residential. There may have been particular ones that were mainly one or the other, but you understand my point.
Yes.
All these factors together, so it was the odd one out, then they'd say, well, don't take it out of context here. Zoning maybe is just totally wrong. But here, where it supported either, I don't see why you get past the zoning.
Here, the hearing officer who heard the evidence found that the most suitable economic use, in fact, the only suitable economic use for this property, this particular property, was this commercial. And
what if they fixed up the house and the house was still there instead of
tearing
it down?
That would be an actual use and it would be residential and there would be no question
and
about
it. Even though it would be totally unsuitable?
Absolutely. If there is an actual use, you don't look at the suitability. If it was actually used as residential, if the house was still there, then there would be no question we would not be here today. It would be residential use. It doesn't matter how attractive it would be for commercial development.
Doesn't the real estate owner have an option to invest and own the property for maybe some other time when they went put a house there or something? I mean, do they have to abide by what you say it should be used for or the municipality? Isn't there any kind of right in the investor or the owner to wait and use it according to how the zoning was, according to how they bought it? They never bought the land under a commercial use. They bought it as zoned residential.
They bought the land in 2001. They tore the house down immediately. They waited 9 years.
It was zoned
years.
Residential at the time they bought it.
It was zoned residential. It had an actual residential use. Which, and that meant, you know, actual use trumps Everything else for classification.
Your position is that if they wanted to keep it residential, they could have. They just had to leave the house there.
They had to leave the house up. That would have taken care of it completely. Or if the circumstances...
And if you want to speculate, if you want to tear it down and speculate, then you could get punished for that economic decision because it may the suitable and best use may be what you really intend, which is commercial.
That's part of it, Judge. And you know, they bought... They paid $155,000 for the house, the lot with the house on it. They added the backyard from another lot that was another $35,000. That made this $155,000 lot. That's not going to be purchased. And then they tore the house down for a residential use. That the immediate most suitable economic use is not residential. The immediate most suitable
economic
use.
Why didn't they apply for commercial use? Why didn't they apply for general commercial C1
or
C2?
Zoning? Well, the city of Gladstone likes to have the zoning proposal come in with what the use is going to be. So when the gas station came in, you know.
So it's a cart and a horse, though. You can't, if it's not zoned, you're not going to sell it for commercial, but you can't get it rezoned for commercial unless you sell it.
Most purchasers, either they purchase it contingent on the rezoning and then they put in what they want to do, whether it's, you know, an office building, an insurance building, whatever, and then the city can then say, well, we want, you know, if it's going to be three stories, we want this kind of screening. If it's going to be flat, we want, you know, bushes. We want this setback. We want this many parking lots. And the city's got a lot more control over what goes in and how they do it if they can do it as a package with zoning and
the
building.
They choose what they want to do with it.
Pardon me?
They choose what they want to do with it.
The owner chooses,
right.
And then they ask the city's authority. But if the and we can't, that's why it's important not to ask the assessor to speculate forward. What might the owner want to do with this? When might the owner decide to sell it? When would an appropriate proposal be presented to the city?
But it's not blighted. It's not blighted where the city could come in and say, it's blighted, we want to take it over or do something else with it. It's just vacant land.
It's vacant land, yes. And it is statutorily to be classified based on its immediate, most suitable economic use using these factors, which include, you know, this
even,
is
even though from what you're saying, if they applied right now to rezone it commercial, it would be denied because they didn't have a buyer for it. And yet they're going to be taxed as it's commercial. But prior to any conditional application.
And that's because the zoning does not reflect the immediate, most suitable economic use.
But until they have
property.
A buyer, they can't even get it reclassified so they could do commercial use. I mean, that it's certainly not immediate if you have to find a buyer first and then make a conditional sale.
You don't have to find a buyer. If you decided you wanted to do something less intensive with the city of Gladstone, you wanted to put in an insurance office building.
No, I understand. But the point being, you would have to have funding, have a use, have a buyer, or have your own plans for it before you can get it reclassified. Why didn't it make sense for them to tax it as it's being used, or at least, I'm just, seems like cart before the horse.
Because the legislature said you don't look at the zoning if that's not the immediate, most suitable economic use. The legislature didn't say we want to tax some owners differently than others. If you are an investor, we're going to tax you differently than if you've owned it for a long time, or if you are a new owner. You look at the location, a five-lane road, two car dealerships across the street. This road goes all the way through Kansas City and across the Heart of America Bridge. There's two car dealerships across the street. There's a retail strip mall to the north. There are 12,000 people within a one-mile radius of this property.
So you're saying the current zoning is unreasonable?
Yes, probably. And actually, if a less intensive zoning application were denied by the city, you might see an appeal on that the city's zoning denial was unreasonable based on all the circumstances of this property. We all know it's going to be rezoned at this time. Mr. Vaitman testified when he had the house torn down that he knew at some point it was going to be retail or some type of retail or commercial site.
That's speculation.
Speculation. Yes,
speculation. That's what investors do. They speculate.
We don't want him to have to speculate to determine the classification or the assessor's office, either one.
Why can't he speculate? He owns the land.
Well, certainly. Excuse me. I don't mean that he can't speculate. But I mean, regardless of what people think or don't think the future use might be, the assessor has to look at what is in existence on the tax day. And we know that the city indicated that it would rezone this property to a less intensive use, not CP3.
How do we know that?
That was in the testimony and in the appraisal report of the appraiser, of the county's appraiser.
But we don't know what the council, I mean, opposing council said the council didn't make any formal statement.
No formal statement. I mean, because they don't make, it's just like a court. They don't forecast officially if, you know, if you came in with a Allstate insurance building, then, and it was one story and it was.
Well, they want to put McDonald's there, the people that own these cul-de-sacs, which is sort of a residential kind of term, it's sort of French. People on these cul-de-sacs are going to say, we don't want a McDonald's there. There's traffic. There's loitering. There's this and that.
That's right. And that's
they win.
That's what happened with the unmanned 24-hour-a-day gas station. But you can see from the plat that there's, in the photograph, the aerial photograph that was in evidence, it's on the legal file page 253 and 252. There's already been one of these lots rezoned, and there, that's where the former Blockbuster is. It's right directly to the south. It's already happened in this residential subdivision. And the Batemans purchased the backyard of this one house to add to their lot here. They've spent $155,000 and torn the house down with the anticipation that it's going to be a commercial use. That is the most suitable.
That happens all the time in San Luis County. They tear down a smaller house and they build a McMansion.
They might build a McMansion there, but it wouldn't be consistent with the neighborhood. I don't think very many people would want to pay $155,000 for a lot that's across the street from two dealerships on a busy road like this with this kind of a neighborhood. When you look at these cases are very fact-intensive, and if you look at the facts as they exist on the tax day, the most suitable economic use at that time was clearly commercial, and that's what the tax commission found, and there is substantial evidence to support that decision.
Just to clarify, looking at the diagram, you have 21 and 23 are the subject properties, is that correct?
21, 23, yes, Judge.
And then what's 22?
22 is a house that they purchased the backyard of that house.
Okay. And how about 24 and 19 and 25?
24 and 19 are houses. 29 is the Blockbuster store. Former Blockbuster.
Since Blockbuster went under, is there anyone else there now?
I believe I saw cars in the parking lot. I believe there's like a medical office or an optometrist or something like that in one portion of this, because this is a long, long building.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
You know, over and over again, we just heard my opposing counsel say
that. Is this America or what?
There you go. It's America. Yes, Your Honor. Most certainly. We heard over and over again my opposing counsel say that we don't want to speculate as to what might happen in the future. But that's exactly what they're asking that statute 137.016.5 to be transformed into. I agree entirely. We need to look at the property as it is on taxing day. And just to clarify, there was some mention at the beginning of my opposing counsel's argument about a pending zoning change. There is no pending zoning change. There never has been. And in fact, although it can't be in the record temporally, the zoning of this land has not been changed from 2009.
Your opponent raises the issue, and that this, in fact, it's a fact-intensive determination, and the facts were found by the agency, the tax commissioner. So why is that not the deciding factor? That it could well have gone the other way, but that because the tax commissioner ruled against your clients, that we give deference to them because it's fact intensive determination.
And certainly there is deference. I mean, the Hampton Big Boy Steel standard of review is that there has to be substantial competent evidence, and obviously I, as the appellant, have the burden. But if you look at the actual findings, opposing counsel tried to downplay this. The actual findings on pages 289 to 291 of the legal file for each of the seven factors besides the zoning, is that it could be used either way. There's no immediate prior use. They're located near both residential and commercial properties. Access would be the same regardless of whether it's commercial or residential. Public services are, quote, unquote, suitable for either commercial or residential development.
So we would be finding that there was not substantial evidence to support the decision?
It's that there isn't substantial evidence to support that the immediate most suitable economic use of this property is as commercial property. Immediately, now, it is not possible to be used as commercial property. Opposing counsel suggested that no use could be immediate. It's immediate most suitable economic use. So if it's obviously it's not being used at all right now, which is why we're here and arguing about the meaning of immediate most suitable economic use. But the immediate most suitable economic use has to be residential because that's the only thing the law allows it to be used as. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that's exactly what Algonquin says. Based upon the current restrictions, the restrictions on tax day, restrictions, in fact, in this case, today, immediate commercial use was legally impossible. Opposing counsel tries to distinguish Algonquin by saying that there were deed restrictions as well. There was only some of the clubs. That wasn't all of them. Some were just zoning. And that the city had said it would never allow this. There was no evidence of that in Algonquin, if you read the opinion. I see I'm out of time. Unless there are any further questions, we ask the trial court be reversed. Oh. Thanks a lot, Your Honors.
The case is well briefed and well argued. Thank you. We'll take a short break.